This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Well, every sermon series I preach usually has a theme piece, meaning a scripture that kind of capsulizes the whole theme of the book. This week, I'm sharing a message called God's Plan for Your Life, that God has a plan for your marriage, God has a plan for your children, God may even have a plan for your career, believe it or not. That's all discussed today in a message from Jeremiah 29, a message I gave in September in Stone Mountain, Georgia, at Mount Carmel Christian Church, the church I served for 6 years. God bless you as you listen to part one. Well, Michael Josephson was a law professor and author, great author. Discovered him by accident one day, and he writes this: "Ready or not, someday it's all going to come to an end. No more sunrises, no more minutes, no more hours, no more days. All the things you collected, whether treasured or forgotten, will pass to someone else. Your wealth, your fame, your power will shrivel to irrelevance. It won't matter what you owned or what you were owed. Your grudges, your resentments, your frustrations, your jealousies will finally disappear. Your hopes, your ambitions, your plans, your to-do list will all expire. The wins and losses that once seemed so important will fade away. It won't matter where you came from or what side of the tracks you lived on at the end. It won't matter whether you were beautiful or brilliant. It won't matter your gender, your skin color will all be irrelevant. So what will matter? How will the value of your days be measured? What will matter is not what you learned, but what you taught. What will matter is that every act of integrity, compassion, courage, or sacrifice that enriched, empowered, or encouraged others to emulate your example. What will matter is not your competence, but your character. What will matter is not how many people knew you, but how many will feel a lasting loss when you're gone." That's really thought-provoking. Listen to that again. What will matter is not how many people knew you, but how many will feel a lasting loss when you're gone. What will matter is not your memories, but the memories that live on in those who loved you. What will matter is how long you will be remembered, by whom and for what. Living a life that matters doesn't happen by accident. It's not a matter of circumstance, but of choice. Choose to live a life that matters. Choose to live a life that matters. I've been preaching on the radio a sermon series from the book of Jeremiah. And the sermon series is called "The God with the Plan," and the text for that is Jeremiah 29, right in the middle of the book, and that's where I chose to speak at Mount Carmel today. The theme of the book, "The God with a Plan," where God says He's got a plan for your life. God has a plan for your marriage. God has a plan for your children. God has a plan for your grandchildren. God has a plan for your service to the kingdom. And most people, including Christian people, don't know that. I want us to read Jeremiah 29. Beginning, and I'm just going to read it from the screen. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 15. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me with and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord." Well, all this week on Cross Hope, a message that was given in September in Stone Mountain, Georgia, at Mount Carmel Christian Church, a church I served years ago for 6 years. I'm preaching the theme message of the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14. We begin with the comment about the text itself. God bless you as you listen to part two today.
"For I know the plans I have for you,
declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope in a future. There's two extremes about this scripture, and some of you are already ahead of me. You know what I'm going to talk about. There are some people that have this verse up on their refrigerator. I've had it up. And people claim it and say, that's my life verse. God wants what's best. He wants me to have the best flat screen TV. He wants me to drive the nicest car. He wants me to have the nicest house because, you see, the God knows the plans. And I'm not sure that's what that means, Jeremiah 29. The other extreme is people who say this was written to the southern kingdom, the capital, Jerusalem, to people that aren't connected with us. It has nothing to do with our lives, and I disagree with that. This is a passage that reflects the character of God. God is a God who has a plan. The God who created this world has a plan for this world. God who set the planets in perfect gravitational orbit. I'm so glad the world didn't end yesterday. I wouldn't have been able to preach today. I don't know if any of you heard that, the news that the world was supposed to end around, 4 o'clock? And 4 o'clock, I looked at my watch, and then at 5 after, but you're here. And I'm looking at you, and you're looking at me, and I'm not mocking with the man who predicted that, because the time is going to come. The day, the Bible says, when every eye shall see him. There will be the day when the sky opens, and I don't know what it's going to be like, where the whole world at one moment. I had trouble believing that years ago, and how would that be accomplished? But now with the internet and all the stuff we have, computers, what's so hard to believe about that? And it does say this, that behold, he will come with clouds. There's something connected with the second coming of Christ with clouds. I just find that intriguing. Every time I see a beautiful cloud, I think he will come with clouds. Whatever that means or whatever that entails. I want to talk about God having a plan for your life. I'm going to share something with you publicly that I've never said to anybody privately. Sometimes it's easier to say something publicly in a sermon than it is to go to one person, two people, and say, let me tell you something. So I'm going to do that. You're going to hear something I've never said privately to anyone, and it's this. Every church where I've ministered, including Mount Carmel, Texas, Columbus, Ohio, Dayton, Ohio, I've had people in my office over lunch say this: God feels like a million miles away from me. Maybe you said that. I have. God feels like a million miles away. Do you know what I've never said to people that I'm going to say publicly? Maybe that's because where you put him. Maybe that's because where you put him, and I'm saying that to you and to me. That sometimes, not always, but sometimes when people say God seems like a million miles away, it's because we've put him there. Where have you put God in your life? On the periphery? He's there. You know, if we have a death in the family, God, you'll be the first person we call. If there's a crisis, we'll call you. It's our last resort, but we'll get to you. Not our first response, it's our last resort. And I want to suggest to you that one of the ways that you find God, that God has for your life, is to pray. You pray to him. May I tell you what prayer does when you pray for somebody? And some of you have never even thought about this, including in your own home. When you pray, you bring the presence of God into a room. When you pray in a car with somebody, you just brought the presence of God into that car. When you pray at a McDonald's over a cup of coffee, you bring the presence of God into that table at McDonald's. You really do. And some of you are afraid to pray in your own home. Isn't that interesting? Are we afraid to bring the presence of God into our own home by saying, we don't pray? We just don't do that. Other people do it. Grandpa used to do that. And you know, my dad used to pray before every meal, and we go on and on. But do you pray? No, we don't pray. Just recently, Annie can verify this happened. We have a friend that works at a local hardware store. We only know him through his job. You know what I call familiar strangers. There are people you know that you see at the laundromat, you see at the dry cleaners, you see somewhere, and you just know the people. That's where you see them. And we see this man regularly at the local hardware store. He's an employee there. I talked to him the other day, and I knew he'd been sick. And I said, what's the latest on your illness? And he said, I just was told this week, I got 3 to 5 years to live. That's it. Now, it's not like he's been given a 6 month or a year kind of situation. He's got 3 to 5 years. What would you do if you found out you had 3 to 5 to live? Did you know the book of James says you don't even know if you have tomorrow? You don't even know, and I don't even know if we have tomorrow, and we make our plans, and we're going to do this, and then we plan to go there, and then we're going to take that trip, and James says you don't even know if you have tomorrow, but God has a plan for tomorrow for you and today that we can bring into our lives through prayer. Some of you know who Ravi Zacharias is, my favorite preacher right now. He said, on a trip to Hungary, I spent an evening with a few colleagues as we discussed the spiritual and philosophical issues, and we tried to answer the questions of our 6 Hungarian hosts. They included a member of parliament, a theoretical physicist, a successful businessman. None of the 6 were followers of Jesus Christ. They were in the truest sense atheistic, with no belief in God or a recognition for the need for God. After hours of interaction, the evening came to an end. Before we separated, I asked if they would mind if I concluded our time together with prayer. They were a bit taken aback since none of them believed in God, but in a bemused manner, they agreed that I should pray. I prayed for their nation, Hungary, their families, their own lives. I prayed that God would show himself to them in some meaningful way and thanked God for the opportunity to meet with them in their homeland and spend the evening with them. Now, Ravi Zacharias said this, when I said amen, I looked up, and all 6 of them had tears coming down their eyes. They're atheists. They were all emotionally moved by the prayer. What happened with Ravi Zacharias was that prayer brought the presence of God into that gathering. Now, that's not where the story ends. He said the next day, he ran into one of the men who was there who said this. After the prayer, I was so moved, he said, I didn't go back to my hotel room. Instead, he said, I walked most of the night around the city until I came to the place that I realized that Jesus Christ must be who he claimed to be, the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Isn't that amazing? All because of a prayer. What could God do in your life with prayer? What could God do in your life with prayer? Prayer over a meal. God, we thank you for this food. God, we recognize that everything we have comes from you. Everything that we have is a gift from you. You come into the presence of God, into his plan, I think, by seeking him through prayer. You seek God through prayer. And in that passage, it says, you seek with all your heart means to seek with desperation. We sang about that today. I'm so desperate for it. I was so glad to see that word on the screen. That's what it means to seek the Lord, to seek him with desperation. You know, I know people that are desperately seeking money. Their whole life is, got to get money. We got to do this. We got to do that. People desperately seek power. People desperately seek popularity. We seek so many things. And we're desperately to seek the Lord God Almighty. It happens by praying to him and reaching out to him. You know, the older I get, the more I'm convinced that this whole church thing, everything we do in the name of Christianity, boils down to the identity of Jesus. It's all about him. And I tell people, if you want to crystallize everything about Christianity down into a few sentences, is Jesus who he claimed to be or is he not? If he is who he claimed to be, get this, there's nothing more important in your life than knowing him. Nothing. You think your job's more important than that? Forget it. You think your education is important as knowing the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life? It's not. There's nothing in your life, nothing in your life greater than knowing the one who said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know, that's the one claim of Jesus. I say this often in sermons that sends a chill up my spine every time I hear it. Where Jesus made the statement to people who were listening to him, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Do you know why that statement does that to me? Because it's crazy if it's not true. It's insane. Jesus was either the greatest liar that ever lived, the greatest lunatic that ever lived, or let me tell you who he is. Lord. L-O-R-D. That's the trilemma you have with Jesus. I told you that years ago when I was here. He's either liar, lunatic, or Lord. Decide. Decide that he is. And Jesus is the one who has a plan for your life. The one who is the sacrifice for all the sins of the world is the one who's got a plan for your life. He has a plan for your family. And it comes by submitting your life under his lordship. He's not going to email you the plan. You're not going to find it in a directory somewhere. You're not going to find it at the library. You're not going to find it in a posting on Facebook. You're going to find the plan for your life by submitting to the lordship of Christ, by saying, Jesus, you're the Lord of my life. And I know you've got a plan for me to bless me. And you've got a plan to bless our family. And I'm going to seek you, as Jeremiah said, with desperation, realizing that I will find you. The God who is sought is found. Remember that. Maybe that's the thought to go home with. The God who is sought is found. And that can happen in your life today. Well, I want you to make every effort to hear the final part of this message, because I talk about a movie that I've never seen and use it as an illustration. That's risky to do, to use a movie you haven't seen as an illustration. I want you to hear that story tomorrow. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. Well, rarely on Cross Hope do I use illustrations from movies, especially movies I haven't seen. Occasionally I will talk about a film that I've seen, but rarely, if ever, do I talk about a movie that I haven't seen. I'm going to talk about a movie from 2010 called Avatar. I shared it as a part of the message from Jeremiah 29 about God having a plan for your life and mine. Listen to this story as we close out our message from Jeremiah 29, God has a plan for your life. There was a movie out in 2010 that I never saw, not because of any moral superiority. I'm just not into science fiction movies per se, and it just didn't appeal to me. It was the movie called Avatar by James Cameron, the man who produced Titanic. I understand that Avatar made $1.4 billion in terms of revenue. Can you imagine that? One movie, not million, $1.4 billion. It was a popular movie. It was one of the, in fact, it was the most popular movie, I think, of its time in 2010. Was it about an imaginary place called Pandora? And what I found to be interesting, the reason I tell that story is because of this. There was a website on CNN's website, or a sub-website, where people could write in to talk about the movie Avatar. Over 1,000 people posted messages on it, and many of them said this, that after they saw the movie Avatar, they were so depressed. And several of them said, I thought about committing suicide after I got home from the movie. Can you believe that? And I wondered why. And it's because they said, we just wanted there really to be a place called Pandora. This imaginary place. It was just such a beautiful place. And that's what we wanted. And I, you know what I thought of? Ecclesiastes 3:11 says this, that God has set eternity. God has set eternity into the hearts of men and women. Isn't that interesting? God's planted in you, in every atheist, in every agnostic, the desire for eternity, the desire to be with the Lord. And most people don't know that. It's been implanted. Just like a part of your heart's designed to control the heartbeat, the rhythm of your heart, that's part of your heart. And God says, I've planted in every heart an awareness of the eternal. And what those people, in my opinion, what those people were doing was crying out for the eternal.
They were crying out for eternity. This one user on the website named Mike wrote this: ever since I went to see the movie, I've been so depressed. Watching the wonderful world of Pandora and all the people in it, I wanted me to be one of them. I think the Navi, the people. I can't stop thinking about all the things that happened in the film and all the tears and the shivers I got from it, he posted. I even have contemplated suicide, thinking if I do, I might be rebirthed in a world similar to Pandora, and that everything will be the same as it was in Avatar. Isn't that sad? Maybe if I die, I'll be rebirthed into this place called Pandora. May I tell you about a rebirth that's promised in John 3? You must be born again, Jesus said. If any man or woman is in Christ, they're a new creation. They're not reformed. They're not better. They're not 10% improved. They're new creations through Christ. You see, what those people need was the new birth experience of coming to know the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. His name is Jesus.
My prayer is that you come to know him today. Our website is crosshope.org.
You've been listening to Crosshope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Crosshope is listener-supported and is produced by Crosshope Ministries, Incorporated.